Good morning. Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. Let's stand and worship together this morning.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. It was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a
seated.
Good morning. So good to see all of you in worship today and welcome you here to Asbury United Methodist Church. Whether you're joining us here in our Wilson Activity Center or are part of our online audience, we are so glad that you chose to worship with the Asbury community today. And we pray that everything that happens today, from the songs, to the prayers, to the sermon, to the sharing of Holy Communion on this wonderful World Communion Sunday, will bring a blessing into your life as you experience the presence of God. If you would please, let us know that you are worshiping with us. There's a link from the website, or if you're online, there should be a link there for you. We want to know that you're here, and especially if you have a prayer request that we can share with you. Our pastors would love to be part of that journey as you call out to God for whatever, a joy or concern in your life. Also today, I draw attention to our prayer wall over here. The pens and the cup are all sterile and waiting for you. All we ask is that as you write down your prayer request and put it there on the wall, that you also drop the pen into the used cup, which is empty right now. But at any point in the service, feel free to offer a prayer concern. And with those two things before us, may I offer just a simple word of prayer as we begin today. Loving God, for the power of your Holy Spirit to be among us, to open our hearts and minds to your word and to your presence, we pray today. For we have come to be transformed by your word, and we've come to learn how to live in and for you. In the name of Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. And now I'd like to welcome Miles Harward up here to open us with our scripture.
Psalm 133. How good and pleasant is it when brothers live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore.
Weak and wounded sinner, lost and left to die. Oh, raise your head, for love is passing by. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus and live. Now your burden's lifted and carried far away, and precious blood has washed away the stain. So sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus, and live. Like a newborn baby, don't be afraid to crawl. And remember, when you walk, sometimes we fall. So fall on Jesus, fall on Jesus, fall on Jesus, and live. Sometimes the way is lonely and steep and filled with pain. So if your sky is dark and pours the rain, then cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus, and live. And when the love spills over and music fills the night, when you can't contain your joy inside, then dance for Jesus, dance for Jesus, dance for Jesus, and live. And with your final heartbeat, kiss the world goodbye. Then go in peace and laugh on glory's side. And fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus, and live. Fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus and live.
Amen.
Good morning. Let me get, it's a hard transition from mask to microphone, but I'll try to make it as smoothly as I can. It's a blessing to be with you this morning. It's a blessing to be with you on World Communion Sunday as we come together around the table in remembrance of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'll be honest with you, I'm a little bit nervous. This is the first time I've preached to a live crowd in 6 months. For the last 6 months, I've preached to Pastor Deedee and to Tom Evans, and they're great company. But it doesn't beat having a room full of friends like this. But I must warn you, if halfway through the sermon I yell, cut, that's just old habits that I'm going to have to try to kick. Before we dive off into the message, join me as we go to God in prayer. Almighty God, we give thanks to you. We give thanks to you because in this space and in this time, we are drawn together as your children, whether it be here in person in the Wilson Activity Center, whether it be online in virtual space, we are your beloved children, and we find ourselves here in this place and in this time, and we come to glorify you. We come to sing loudly the praises of your beautiful name. We come here to be together in fellowship with each other and in service to you. But we also come here this morning, God, in need. We all find ourselves broken in some way, and for all of us, that might look different, but we come here this morning, Lord, to seek your healing grace, your healing love, and to feel your beautiful mercy. So, God, we invite you through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit to join us this morning. May your words work powerfully through the message. May it be your will that we hear today and not the pastor's. God, this morning we have so much to pray for. There is so much that is weighing heavy on our hearts. We pray this morning for our president. We pray for the first lady and for all of those in the administration that have been impacted by COVID-19. We also pray for all of our brothers and sisters around the world who are experiencing the struggle of dealing with the illness, for those who have experienced the loss of loved ones as this illness has taken its toll on our world. God, I ask that you, through your powerful mercy, through your comforting touch, that you bring peace to all of those affected by this illness. We pray this morning for those on the West Coast who are continually impacted by these wildfires. May you bring peace into their hearts. May you give them a sense of direction that can only come from you as they seek to find safety, as they seek to rebuild their lives. God, please be with them. We continue to pray for those on the Gulf Coast who have been impacted by hurricanes. May you continue to be with them. May you continue to place a steady hand of love on them. We pray for our Christian brothers and sisters around the globe, God. There are so many who move in the darkest spaces and darkest places and seek to be the light. Seek to bring your word, bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to those here at the most. And God, we just ask that you place a hedge of protection around them as they move and do your will in the world. God, this morning we pray for Nathan Hill. We pray for Jenny. We pray for the family as Nathan faces a battle ahead of him with health issues. May your love and grace be poured into them. May your healing mercy come into that situation, and may you bring peace to all of those who are touched and impacted. We pray this morning for Jean Beth Hill. We pray this morning for June Glazier. We pray this morning for all of our brothers and sisters here in Asbury who are facing medical issues, health issues, feelings of isolation and hurt and loneliness. God, we ask that you continue to pour your love and your mercy into their lives. And God, we pray for our community here in Little Rock that may we serve with a fire, that we may serve in love, and that we may move forward with your grace in our brother, with our brothers and sisters, our neighbors around us. May we be the light that someone else most desperately needs to see. We ask all of this in your son's beautiful name. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of Mark. It is chapter 14. If you have your Bible, we're going to look at verses 17 through 26. If you don't have your Bible, that's okay. Here in the Wilson Activity Center, it'll be up on the screen. Follow along this and hear this word of God. When the evening came, Jesus arrived with the 12. While they were reclining at the table, eating, he said, "I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They were saddened, and one by one they said to him, "Surely not I." "It is one of the 12," he replied, "one who dips bread into the bowl with me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him, but woe to the man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." While they were eating, Jesus took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it, this is my body." When he took the cup, he gave thanks and offered it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," he said to them. "I tell you the truth, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I hate to admit it, but I am generally pretty forgetful by nature. I am one of those people who, if I don't write everything down, don't start my week with a list, it is likely that I will forget about 50% of the things that I am supposed to do in that week. I'd like to say that it is hereditary. I would like to say that it's something I inherited. I'll give you an example. As kids growing up, all three of us were baseball players. I'm the oldest of three. And there would be times where we would go out to the ball field and maybe one of us had games or all of us had games. And my mom would always go home a little bit early to prepare dinner or whatever. And it was my dad's responsibility to bring all three kids home. And I would say, honestly, on more than one occasion, two out of three kids made it home. And you know what they say, two out of three ain't bad. I only say that because my dad is here today and I love him. But it's not hereditary. I could give you another example. I won't tell you the whole story because of COVID, we have a time crunch. But I remember one year I put so much planning and effort into my wedding anniversary, Jennifer and I. And I had this great day lined out on December 30th, the day we were married. And I woke up the morning of December 28th, walked out to make my cup of coffee, and Jennifer looks at me and goes, "Happy anniversary." I won't tell you the details of that story. You will have to ask her because she tells it so much better than I do. But I have remembered our wedding day ever since. But it's not just the day-to-day, it's not just our worldly obligations that we're forgetful towards. We are forgetful as Christians, often. A lot of times we go through life, and especially over the last 6 months, as we've been in this period of pandemic and isolation and social distancing and unrest, and it just seems like every day it's more bad news and more bad news and more bad news. We very quickly forget not only who we are, but we forget whose we are. And a lot of us feel that way today, that maybe we feel disconnected, not just from each other, but a little disconnected in our faith. But this is nothing new. It's not something the world is just now experiencing. If you go back through and look at the whole of Scripture, this is a common problem throughout humanity. People fall away, people forget, and it's a perpetual cycle that occurs throughout the Bible. And then God will do something to remind us, God will do something to pull us back in, and it lasts for a while, and then we fall away. And it's that forgetting that sets the stage for where we find ourselves this morning in the gospel according to Mark. We are at the Last Supper. It takes place during the Passover. The purpose of the Passover celebration, the Passover meal, is for the Jewish community to remember that God brought them up out of bondage. God brought them up out of Egypt and delivered them to the promised land. And so they would gather during this festival. They would gather during this meal, and they would celebrate that event. This is also Passion Weekend. I know a lot of times during Easter we call it Passion Week, right? Well, this is Thursday, heading into the weekend of our Lord's crucifixion. So we've reached the weekend. And what's so interesting about what Mark does here is he takes two specific problems, two specific human issues. So we have problems on either side, and right in the middle, as God so often does, he delivers a promise. And I know that happens in all of our lives. When we have problems all around us, right in the middle, there is God to deliver us a promise. See, reading the Bible where we are today, we have what we call, and I've said it in here before, we have the insight of hindsight. We can read the Bible in its whole. We can get the whole story. So we know that prior to this Passover meal, Judas had already gone to the authorities and sold Jesus out for some silver. We also know that shortly after this Passover meal, in less than 24 hours, every single one of his closest disciples will turn their back on him and flee and self-preserve. We get caught up in self-preservation a lot as humans, don't we? But in the middle of all of that, as this meal is being prepared, Jesus does something powerful. Jesus flips the script. He changes the narrative. And it's really amazing how he starts out. And you have to think that something big is going to occur just with the way things get set up. This is a group that has lived on the road for years. They've eaten outside. They've slept outside. They've lived outside. And now Jesus is telling them to prepare a room, an indoor room. Go into town and you will see a man carrying water. Follow him to his house and tell his master to prepare a room for us. The room will be prepared. That's a very uncommon thing because in that time, the carrying of the water was usually work that was associated with women. So if they went into town, they saw a man carrying water, that was strange. So it sets up for something amazing, something big to happen. And so they gather around this table, and part of Passover is that you have the sacrifice of the lamb. The lamb is cut in two, and then it is shared in a family communal meal. And usually it would be 10 people or more that participated in this. And so if you were a family of five, you would find another family of five, or you would get your numbers to where it needed to be, and then engage in that Passover meal. So one of the things that we need to understand when we talk about the Last Supper story is it's not necessarily just Jesus and the 12. There is more likely than not other people in the room eating as well. There's women and there's children and it's a community event. It's what makes Jesus' opening statement in the Passover dinner, the Last Supper, so interesting. He doesn't come right out and say, "Hey everybody, we're glad you're here." He comes out and immediately says, "I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me." And it's like, man, Jesus, couldn't you even wait for the appetizers to get out here? But here's the amazing thing about that. First, he turns and he says, "One who is eating with me." And so we know the 12 disciples are around that table sharing the dipping of the bread into the cup with Jesus. And so you could imagine everybody else is sitting in the gallery had to go, "Whew, thank goodness it wasn't me." But here's the interesting thing about the 12. And I don't know about you, but if I was sitting in a room like that, it's sort of like when you're sitting in high school and somebody pulls a prank and they're like, I want to know who did this. What do? You immediately look around to see who the guilty person is, right? That would be my approach. I would be like, well, who is it? Who's going to betray Jesus? But they don't do that, do they? Instead of looking outward and looking at everybody else, they turn inward and they look at themselves and they look into their own hearts, and they respond one by one, and they say, "Surely not I. surely I am not the one that is going to turn away from you, Lord. Surely I am not the one that is going to go through my day-to-day life and be so consumed by anger and frustration and divisiveness and isolation that I'm going to turn from you, Lord. Surely not I. Lord, is it I? Is a question that jumps off the pages of Scripture and comes all the way to us today. Because how often do we sit there and we say, Lord, surely it's not I? Because here's what's interesting about that. We already know that Judas sold Jesus out, right? So why didn't Jesus say, one of you has betrayed me? He didn't speak in that tense. He said, sure, one of you will betray me. And as we know, in less than a day, they all will betray him. And so Jesus makes a move because it is the will of God that this betrayal occurs. And Jesus knows that we are a forgetful people. We're sitting at the Passover meal. And so he begins the process of the Last Supper. He begins to take these elements that are so common to us. Every one of us has bread in our house right now in some way, shape, or form. We all have some type of juice. We have some type of wine. And that's what Jesus did that was so amazing when he taught. He could take the most common things and make them powerful and purposeful in a way that we can understand and that we can connect to them. And so he takes the bread. You know the liturgy. You've heard it. He takes the bread and he breaks it. And he says, this is my body. It becomes symbolic of Jesus' broken body on the cross, which everyone will see in less than 24 hours. But I also say to you this morning that it's your own brokenness that draws you to this table. It's your own brokenness that brings you into a needed relationship with our Lord and Savior. And for all of us, that brokenness looks a little different. We all have the trials and the scars of life that we carry, and the hurt and the suffering and the loss. But it is through this supper, it is through the bread, it is through the wine, it is the coming to the table and understanding that it is a table of need. It's not a table of worth. You don't come to this table because you are the best Christian in the world. You come to this table because, like the bread, you are hopelessly broken. You are hopelessly in need. And the only way that need can be abated, the only way that need can be restored, where you can be made whole, is through Jesus Christ. Jesus then takes the wine. He gives thanks to God, and he says, take, drink. This is my blood poured out for you and for many. That wine does not have the value at that moment. It is not realized in the wine. It is not realized in the upper room. It'll be realized a day later at the foot of the cross on a hill called Calvary, where the blood of our Savior will drip down, where a sacrifice will be made for every single one of you, everyone in this room, everyone online, and me, the one who may need it the most. Something very interesting about the Gospel of Mark that you don't find in any other gospel. He says, and they all drank from the cup. So within 24 hours, every one of these disciples will drink from the cup. They will swear allegiance to their Savior. They will fall away and they will flee. You are going to participate in Holy Communion today. And tomorrow you may have a moment of falling away. You may have a moment where you flee. You may have a moment where you want to run. But here's what's amazing. No matter how far you run, no matter how far you try to get away, your seat at this table is always saved. You will always be pulled back to remember. You will always be pulled back to be made whole. As long as you are willing to turn away from whatever it is in the world that is causing you pain, or even whatever in this world is causing you temporary happiness. Because the most important thing to remember about this table, this is not a table of merit. It is a table of grace. And the grace flows abundantly for us all from the cross, from a loving Savior. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm going to invite Pastor Didi up to join me for the great Thanksgiving. I hope that everybody has received their self-serve communion. If you haven't done this with us before, you have what we call the bread on one side. It looks like a chiclet or a piece of Captain Crunch, but it's bread, I promise you. And then you have the juice on the other side. The great Thanksgiving that we are going to do this morning, if you've been to our communion on the green, I'll get some space here, is the one that requires no response. So we will read through the liturgy, and then we will invite you to participate in Holy Communion. Lift up your hearts and give thanks to God. Blessed are you, O God, who with your word and Holy Spirit created all things and called them good. In Jesus Christ, your word became flesh and dwelt among us. Through Jesus' suffering and death, and destroyed their power forever. You raised from the dead this same Jesus, who now reigns with you in glory, and poured upon us your Holy Spirit, making us the people of your new covenant. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, our Savior Jesus Christ, he took the bread and he broke it. He gave to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body broken for you." And when the supper was over, Jesus took the cup. He gave thanks to you, God, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, drink. This is my blood in the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the sins of the world. Drink this as often as you can in remembrance of me."
And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon these gifts and upon all of us who are gathered here today, that in the breaking of the bread and the sharing of the cup, we may know anew the presence of our living Christ, be renewed by the body of Christ, and be redeemed by God's word. We do this until Christ comes in victory and we feast at last at the heavenly banquet. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
And now with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray together the prayer our Lord taught us, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen."
the table of the Lord. I will feast at the table of the Lord. I won't hunger at the table of the Lord. I will feast at the table of the Lord. I won't hunger anymore at His table. Come all you
Wonderful worship service we've had today, hearing the Word of God and sharing in this meal of Holy Communion, where we have received the presence and the power, the mercy, the love, the strength of Jesus Christ. And now we can go forth into the world to offer mercy. And even in our own lives, even masked and distanced, to offer grace and be at the table of the Lord for someone who is weary and broken. So go in peace, my friends. And as you prepare to leave, remember a couple of things. This afternoon at 4:30, we will be having children's activities here on the grounds for those 3 years older, 3 years at least and up. I can get that out. Anyway, you get what I mean, right? And then at 5:30, a drive-in Holy Communion service. So if you know someone that needs to receive, be welcomed at the table. That will happen again this afternoon at 5:30. Sunday school will start promptly at 11-ish. And we're looking forward to that. Go in peace. Serve God. Love others. In Christ's name, amen. Please pay attention to the ushers letting you out. And as you exit, go all the way out to have conversation. Don't stop in the hallway.